Welcome back to another episode of it is about a week ago. I was right. Welcome back to another episode about a week ago. I'm one of your hosts, John Robinson, joined by Manny Fontaine.
Yes, sir. See, that was a slight flex, John. That's a slight flex. Like, I do so many shows, I can't even keep up with them.
Three. Yep. It's a lot.
Something like, I see you. This is the right one. Get the fuck out of here.
Oh, man. Let me tell you about teenagers, dog. The level of disrespect I have in this household is just getting ridiculous now. It's getting so bad, man. So Saturday, you know, I made those brownies, right? Saturday, for the listeners, I had made, it was warm out here. So I barbecued, made some burgers and hot dogs, had my godson over for him and Melissa. And then I put a couple of steaks on the grill for me and Sarah. And we eat that. And then I said, I'm going to take the rest of these brownies over to my mom's house. It's her birthday. Nobody touch the brownies till I get back, because I didn't have no brownies, right? Go over there, chop it up with you, come back. I see Carmelo, my godson, and I said, what did you eat? He said, I had a burger, hot dogs, and a brownie. I said, what? I go upstairs. I said, Sarah, I could have sworn. Oh, I completely forgot.
Sarah sent you down the river.
No, so
you already know she wanted to deny the kids, probably. She probably just didn't want to deny.
They couldn't wait. I wasn't at your house for a minute. So then yesterday, I come home. I say, I'm finna make some gyros. We got the little gyro kit, chicken gyros, right? I'm up here, got the meat on the griddle. I'm chopping up the vegetables, the onions and tomatoes go on it. And then I grabbed the box because it was a gyro kit, right? I grabbed the box to start, you basically how you warm up the pitas. You put a little oil on it and let it fry for a second. There's two pitas in there. And I said,
how many are supposed to come with?
Six.
Oh, my God.
Melissa has been eating the pitas and didn't give nobody a heads up. She did this because we made gyros a couple of weeks ago and there was some leftover meat. So she went into the other box, took it out the freezer and started eating. I said, bruh, you didn't tell us. First of all, hold up. They give you a lot of meat, but they don't give you enough meat to make. You got to think about it. We ate six to make 10 sandwiches. So I was you were just eating the bread. You trying to pull this mess, or you barely putting any meat in any of the sandwiches. So we called her down to tell her, and she was like, oh, but I didn't, what, blah, blah. Like, I was like, you didn't even notice that there was. This was a kit. You didn't give us no heads up. Yeah. You didn't even think like, oh, I can't eat all this. And then I guess she caught herself mad, so she went upstairs and never came back down for dinner. I had to make tacos real quick. But she had tacos earlier that day, so nothing, right? Then I come home tonight. I say, I'm going to do my family a solid. I got to record a podcast. I'm going to, pick up a little Caesar's thin crust pizza. I call Sarah. She don't pick up. I'm like, all right. I get to a red light. I check on her location. I was like, oh, all right, she at the house. Come home. She done got chicken from Jewel. Now, before you say anything, yes, I enjoy chicken from Jewel. But
it's amazing.
You don't know this. I eat chicken from Jewel every single day for lunch. I go over to my Jewel. They have the eight piece, the leftovers, I guess, and I buy back for $5. I eat four pieces of chicken and some rice every single day. So when I see it here, I'm like, I'm not eating that for dinner. Like, you didn't even think about me. You thought about yourself. I was like, she knows I've been eating chicken and rice for 2 weeks.
That's hilarious. John said, I'm not eating that. This piece is all mine.
I did. I told her, I said, y'all better not touch this pizza. And I ate a few slices and put it up. And I'm like, it's going to take me 2 or 3 days to knock this out. But no, we ain't doing that. Y'all wilding out, man. But that's where I've been at this week. I hope you guys found that story as entertaining, or probably more entertaining than D'Angelo's Versus. That shit was trash.
Man, what was it? And I feel like Versus is falling off. Like, to do that, like, I honestly feel like, oh, we about to get back outside. This shit is over.
It's almost as if Versus knew Texas and Mississippi was like, we open for business, so.
Texas and Mississippi out here wild, and they said, forget it.
Yo, they go, I'm not surprised.
You wear your mask.
Here's the wild part about that, for those who haven't seen it. Texas went first, and Texas think they slick. All they doing is trying to get y'all to forget about that winter storm, that the electricity was just sky high bills, right? But then there's a couple of businesses. I can't remember off the top of my head. I remember Toyota's one of them, that they're still going to require a mask. I said, good luck with that. Because now you're going to have people be like, well, the state say I don't have to. And I was like, all right, it's going to be a bunch of wild out videos. Yeah. I think Toyota, Target might have been the other one. There's a few other businesses in Texas like, yo, y'all still got to wear your mask here. We ain't going for that. But I was like, I feel bad for the people who work there. I feel bad for those people who got to deal with, like, yo.
People going to be looking at you weird when you come in with a mask.
Yeah, that's what they say Florida's, you know, like.
Yeah.
But this D'Angelo and Friends situation was just, I couldn't believe he actually came out.
I thought it was over with.
No. We're going
to break it down a little bit.
We have to.
Okay, go ahead.
It ain't that many topics. Shoot. He really hit us with, we are his friends. And yo, I didn't know how small D'Angelo was.
How tall is he?
Well, according to Google, he's 5'6". When Method Man or Red Man came out and he jumped on, I was like, how tall is Method Man or Red Man? Like, why does this guy look so tiny? Like, yo, I didn't have no D'Angelo.
Yeah.
But D'Angelo has to be, no, I hear he has to be, he is the first artist in Versus history. You know how we when Ashanti and Keisha Cole and there's a few others where you be like, man, did they got 20? He struggled for the 20 against himself. Yo, he struggled. In D'Angelo.
Did you watch the whole thing, though?
Yeah, man, I didn't listen. God bless these fake ass celebrities who sit in there and in the IG and, yo, this is the joint. Oh my God, I remember this time. I said, bro, this was one of the most boringest. So, you know, I pulled it up on YouTube I don't know. But you know what? They're not bragging about the numbers this one. I'm like, bruh, this is not the move to do. There weren't really any friends. I mean, her came out and she's adorable. She looked cute when she came out there, but
she's like a little baby. She's adorable.
She's 22. What the fuck am I supposed to do with this chick?
No, she is. But just to hear is just like, she's adorable.
She's cute. They did, you know, Best Part. I like that song with Daniel Caesar.
I like that song.
And they kind of riffed into Nothing Even Matters.
Nothing Matters, yeah.
And then they played the Lauryn Hill. So was Lauryn Hill supposed to come? I heard that Maxwell was supposed to battle him. And it's like,
I don't understand why people saying that Maxwell would be afraid of him, but I'm like, how could that be possible?
No, it couldn't be.
I'm not saying that, because his first album, Brown Sugar, all those tracks actually are great. So he could just play every track on there and still get to 20, which basically what he did, really. But it's just like, I don't think any other artists are really afraid of you. Why don't they have Anthony Hamilton or, you know, like Music Soul Child? I know it'd be a stretch, but you could still do it. I think you can.
Yeah, I think almost anything would have been better than what we got in that situation.
There was no friends, though.
Exactly.
He's not my friend.
Yeah, I don't know you, bro.
I want that to be out there. I love D'Angelo.
When was Black Messiah? That was 2014, I think.
Yeah, I love Black Messiah, though. I thought it had some really great.
Yeah, but that's a slept on album. Even most people like, D'Angelo put out an album after Voodoo. Yeah, he did. He put out Black Messiah. But that one, by the time, you got to think about that too. D'Angelo's career, and for our generation, started when, you know, just to make it local, when we were listening to WGCI and Power 92. And that's the urban hip-hop and R&B stations. By the time he starts releasing Black Messiah, most of our music had moved over to V103, which is the adult contemporary R&B. That is way too long between that you think your same fans were going to be at the same spot, or if you was trying to grab younger fans. That wasn't going to work. And I'm excited about the Raekwon and Ghost, because I'm a fan of both of them, and I think Ghostface will win, because I'm more of a fan of Ghostface, though, in my eyes, unless he just fumbles
Ghostface
this.
Ghostface
going to win.
Raekwon is, you know, Purple Album.
Yeah, Purple Tape. Yeah, he's nice. Cuban Link. Yeah, he's nice. But I just think that's, you're going back to a celebration. I'm excited for that. But the clock is ticking on Versus, and I don't know how Versus competes. We're recording this Wednesday night. Was it Rory from Joe? But one of them mentioned, and I thought this was a good idea, of them taking it outside. I thought about a tour, but the way they described
the way they described it was
it's a concert, but they're going to live stream the concert so you can actually be there, or you could just watch. And I said, all right, that makes it better, because it's music, and you're right. You can't.
Different ideas.
You got to. Because but again, it's hard because this year alone, if outside ever opens up to outside, people are just, I saw somebody said this summer I'm gonna summer like I never summered before, and I felt that. I said, yeah.
No.
Yo, we're gonna be out there.
That's why we almost like upset about Mississippi and Texas, because you know those people travel and they fuck up everything.
I was telling Sarah that I said the bigger problem with Texas, right? Let's just say Texas legitimate, and let's say the governor legitimately thinks that I'm doing the right thing. If you believe that, then you should have did the right thing starting April, right? Because if I'm a college kid and spring break is coming up, we going to Texas. That shit going to be lit. Yeah, and then I'm going back to my college. Yeah. Like, yo, you want to...
Especially concerts and everything.
Yes.
You know, like, hopefully the NBA doesn't let all everybody in there. But then that was the case. They're going to have 60,000 people.
I think it depends on the team. I think it depends on the team. I think Houston and San Antonio, everybody might be in there. The Dallas Mavericks, probably not. Because Mark Cuban is liberal, and he'd be like, yo, y'all not all going to be up in there. But we shall see. They're the guinea pigs. And this the wildest part about it is, depending on what side of the aisle you on, you don't know what you're rooting for. You don't, do you want Texas to fail? Because yeah, that could be bad for the rest of the country. But if they win, then, you know, if you're in Illinois or New York or California, your governors might be switching to red because they're going to be like, see?
Yeah, Illinois is letting more stuff happen.
I know Chicago's up to 50%.
Yeah. And they let people stay open at 1 a.m. and stuff like that. So it's
slowly but surely.
Everybody wants to get outside, but yeah.
Yeah.
But I want it to happen at the right time. They talk about this fourth surge, and then they talk about all these mutations.
Yeah,
and
my I was before I came home, I was looking at Google News, and I saw that my school district was in the Chicago Tribune, and apparently they had a superintendent. I think it's a superintendent meeting, a board meeting. That's what it's called, and the parents were upset with the school district for not being open full time. And like, this is ridiculous. You should blah, blah. And I was telling Sarah about this. And I said, those people have no idea how hard we have to work to keep the school clean. Like, they just don't understand. But here's the thing. I understand the frustrations of parents because this is difficult. Like, my kid's only gone for 2 hours. How am I supposed to cover the hours in daycare, blah, blah. But to me, even if I was feeling that way, my thing probably would have been, what is the plan once you get over 50% of your teachers and staff vaccinated? Are you guys willing to open up then, blah, blah? But I want to say demanded to do it now because you don't know, you know, teachers can get old, not a kindergarten, but they can be old and you don't, they don't want to risk it and putting it. But again, they're on the outside looking in. That's why they should ask questions because fam, the way I have to clean is ridiculous. Like, golly. Yeah.
And if it was all everybody in there, man, you'd be cleaning for hours. Y'all need more people.
Yeah, they were like, yo, we doing 10-hour shifts just to make sure the whole school is clean and whatnot.
Especially because those teachers are going to be up y'all ass.
They look forward to seeing me. They see me at, 11 o'clock, 10:45 when they start taking their kids out. I have to go through all these classrooms and spray down their desks and chairs. They see me all the time like, oh, all right, thank you for cleaning. Thank you. I was like, it's the same thing when I go to the gym and I see them with the little pack and I was like, oh, look at them spraying down the machine with the same solution I sprayed down the desk with. So, let's get this out the way. We will probably spend more time on this, and then by more time we could spend 5 minutes, and it's more time than what the rest of the world is talking about. It's that TI situation, man. Listen, this is why I'm so glad we are who we are, because we don't have any.
We don't
industry
want no
connects
for any man or anything like that, yo.
So, weeks after accusations of sexual abuse and assault against the rapper T.I. and his wife, a lawyer has approached law enforcement authorities in two states seeking criminal inquiries on behalf of 11 people who say they were victimized by the couple or members of their entourage. Before I go any further, I will say that Ebro in the Morning did talk about this yesterday, I believe. It was yesterday. I know they did talk about it. And Ebro's whole thing was, just to surmise it, he says, you should not act out porn. And some of these stories seem like you acted like you should watch. Yo, if you want to watch porn, watch it. But when you try to act out porn, and they talked about how they find it, I think I'm paraphrasing, creepy when couples prey, quote unquote, prey on somebody. Like, you know, because the stories are that T.I. and Tiny would go to the strip club to find the, you know, their lady for the night. Because I don't want to call him a victim, because these are allegations. Yeah. So four women have accused a celebrity pair of drugging and sexually assaulting them, including two instances of rape that were said to have occurred in Georgia and California, according to letters sent on February 19th by the lawyer Tyrone A. Blackburn to state and federal prosecutors in both states. Similar letters were sent to attorneys generals in those states. Quote, a lawyer for T.I. and Ms. Harris said that the couple, quote, deny in the strongest possible terms these baseless and unjustified allegations. We fully expect that if these claims are thoroughly and fairly investigated, no charges will be forthcoming. These allegations are nothing more than the continuation of a sordid shakedown campaign that began on social media and now attempts to manipulate the press and misuse the justice system. And then before we have our thoughts, his show, Grant Family Hustle, is on hold on VH1, and he will not be in Ant-Man 3.
If allegations are true, this is really slimy. Some real slimy ass shit. And we shouldn't turn a blind to it. I think more men need to speak up about it because it's ridiculous. I mean, I guess more women need to speak up about it too because they do it as a tag team. T.I. has been in horrible predicaments his whole career.
T.I., we talked when this case first broke, we said that, you know, T.I. has not been building a good case because when you have misogynistic views, people can see you doing misogynistic things.
Concerns, yeah.
So when
it sounds about right. Like, you know, like say they buy them off for dinner.
Yeah, and then
he can make their drink and then
according to Ebro in the morning, I think Rosenberg said that T.I. did do a video at the end of January talking about these allegations and basically has said that, you know, whatever me and my wife do behind closed doors is what we do behind closed doors. So all but confirming that they do invite others in their bedroom, but obviously he ain't saying we drug
by. Yeah, of course. I mean, and that's completely fine if they're both down for that, right? There's no problem in that. The problem is if you are
the problem becomes too, and I know not to quote T.I., but he said, you know, you no gray goose if you don't get loose. And I know how alcohol but helps set the mood. But man, when you invite that third person, you know, looking back at this situation, you got to be like, damn, everybody need to be sober because I don't want no excuses.
Yeah, I don't want nobody being high.
Like, oh, no, I was drunk as hell.
You should have had him sign something. If it was that clear, but, you should have.
Listen, yo, like, 50 Cent, a quote unquote asshole or whatever. But I remember 50 Cent said he recorded all, and maybe they should do that too. Like, yo, we record all these things. So we the before and the after. So it's showing that you were cool with this. It's showing that you were down doing it. And afterwards, how we were like, yo, blah, blah. But some of the women said we felt used. And I'm like, well, yeah. And this is what I talked about this alone. But maybe when we're talking about Tiana and Iman, when you are a couple seeking a third, heads up to the third, you are being used. You're not going to be their friend. Yeah, you're not there forever. Really, so you got to understand that. Yeah.
That can breathe.
Yep. You are exactly that. That's exactly how you got to look at it. Instead of going to Lover's Lane, they went down to Magic City and got you.
Yeah.
That's it.
And so if this is a shakedown, I can't imagine it being a shakedown because I think he would pay for it if he had to. Why wouldn't he? He throws money at strippers anyway. What would be the point? What would be the difference?
You mean pay these women off? Or are you
like
talking about
pay these women to even from come the beginning over? With. Like, yo, yeah.
Okay, yeah, that's true.
I would think he would do that because you already go to strip clubs and spend a lot of money on them too. Why wouldn't you tell them, yo, if you come back to the house, you can make another $100,000? Why would you say that? You know, what would be the point? If you go into Magic City to get them,
yeah.
What does it matter? You know, like, I don't get that, you know, but I hope the best for all of them, though. For their children, you know, for society, nigga. We need to see black men do way better than this.
Yeah. You're right.
But listen, that's why I'm not into threesomes, though. I'm really not, man. I'm not, I guess nobody wants to hear that type of stuff, but I think threesomes are tacky.
I think it's funny when you hear men who've had threesomes talk about, like, it's a lot of work. And I was like, yeah, because you thought it was going to be like a porn, but porns are directed.
Yeah, porns got cut.
Yeah, but he was like, shit. Yo, I wanted her to eat her. And her. I was like, she might not be down.
Who is really out here fucking like porn stuff? Like, because like when you watch porn and once you start to have sex, you start to realize the worlds are not the same. Like, yo, they're really not the same. And I'm not trying to be I never tried to be like a porn star in the first place, but I understand niggas being so infatuated by that shit that they be trying it. I'll be like, man.
Yeah, they living the life. Say, yo, look at this guy. He got him. He got both of them on either side of him. He doing the thing. I'm going to be like that.
Yeah, I guess.
Yo, no, my favorite threesome thing.
I didn't watch threesome porn though.
What was Seinfeld, right?
Yeah.
And Jerry got offered it. And Jerry turned it down because he said, that's a lifestyle change. He said, I'll have to get new friends and everything. That shit had me dying when he talked about that.
You gotta really think about that shit. Ain't no turning back when you do that shit.
Yeah, because this Chris Rock said you don't go back sexually. Men don't go backwards sexually. So it's like, yeah, isn't that too many men who be like, man, what was that? What was that year? 2018? I was having threesomes all the time. I just cut cold turkey. Yeah, right.
Yeah, like as soon as you get your dick sucked, that's gonna happen for the rest of your life. As soon as you get your ass ate, that's gonna happen for the rest of your life.
I wonder how many women, like, you know, when you getting to know your partner, fear asking, like, have you had a threesome? If they don't want to have a threesome, cause like, damn, if he says yeah, she gonna be like, damn.
Or they just tell him no, that's not gonna happen. I don't know.
Did you watch the Biggie doc?
Yes, that was amazing.
Man,
it was great.
I had got mad that nobody was talking about it. I was like, what's going on?
Because
they dropped Friday. Oh, no, it dropped Monday, March 1st, right?
Yeah, March 1st.
And I thought to myself, man, halfway through watching it, I said, man, we didn't even got to Ready to Die yet. Look at all this information. I didn't know
all
about the Jamaica.
Yeah.
I didn't know about his uncle being in music.
His grandma was still alive.
Exactly. 96 years old, and bless her heart, because when she had to talk about her grandson dying, you could still see it hurt her.
She's like, why did I take my grandson?
She was playing with that rubber band. I was like, damn, this still, like, that's never going to go away. And just the way he was, I liked all the footage that D-Rock gave us. It was just recording.
I like D-Rock talking for us. I appreciate that.
Yeah,
he don't even do that shit.
Yeah, I think it was done, and I meant to go look this up because there's one Tupac documentary I love, and I think it's called Resurrection, and that's the one where Tupac narrates the whole thing. And this one had a little bit of that flavor because they would have a moment and they can pull a Biggie interview where he's talking about that moment. So it kind of felt like Biggie was part, you know, he had a say in this documentary. Yeah. Now, the lack of Lil' Kim did stick out to me. They had her in videos, but she didn't sit down and talk for whatever reason. It was glaring. But all in all, it was an amazing documentary. And I don't know if this is ever going to go away, but his funeral will always get to me. Forever. Yeah. Forever it gets to me. I thought about, because it starts off there, and then obviously it comes back, but they didn't get to the part that really chokes me up is, you know, they get to where they go over the Brooklyn Bridge and they hit the town, but they never got to the part where they said, and then somebody started playing music. And then it just started turning into a party. But I watched that and I was like, man, I think that's when I first, maybe it was Aaliyah. When Biggie died, I'm only 15. It might've been when Aaliyah passed, when I said, death is like a surprise party as far as, I bet you Biggie knew he had love, but nobody could. Somebody said, "Man, when you die,
as soon as you cross that bridge,
when your body come across here, they gonna go up." And I was like, that love that they gave him was the same love he gave them when he was like, "Brooklyn, we did it." He put Brooklyn on his back.
Nobody's ever been that like lit.
No.
It was,
and I thought about that. Like, if we're going, obviously, Brooklyn loves Hov. But Hov is at an age now that it's not gonna be, it won't be like that. And I'm just saying visually, listen to me, guys. I'm saying visually, I'm not saying that there aren't people or Jay-Z fans don't love him as much as Biggie loves him. I thought about Drake. Toronto is not, I don't feel like Toronto is gonna turn up, but that doesn't mean Toronto does not love Drake the same way. It's just that visual we saw.
Energetically, you just couldn't expect that. They were all like, It was like her mom said, it was like a party. It's like everybody was happy and joyous. Like, yo, it was just like, because he came from our neighborhood. And
here's the thing, too, that sticks out to me. That's off of one album. The second album hasn't dropped yet. He dies in between them. He dies at March 9th. The album drops at March 25th or something like that. The album drops a couple of weeks later. And I'm pretty sure, I think the funeral happened because I think they only play Hypnotized throughout the window. It wasn't like we get to, they didn't have the rest of the songs. One album. Yeah. And what bothers me too is when you realize, like, when we were growing up, we were upset, obviously, that Biggie died, but we were also upset that, you know, there used to be that argument that, yo, Biggie didn't work like Pac. Pac had so many songs, blah, blah. But it's like, Biggie's pen was kind of fast, too, because he wrote a lot of Junior Mafia stuff. He was writing. Yeah. He just didn't have a lot of stuff for himself.
And I like how Faith said he would wrote them all albums.
Yeah.
To get them to the win. Like you said, if they had the heart to do it, he would have wrote all of them.
Yeah.
I like how they showed how he loved R&B.
Yeah.
I love that.
Wake up, Sonny. Yeah. I was like, look at Big on that.
Too. Yeah, he held that shit. Every time I close my eyes.
Yo, he killed that. And he was just he's a naturally funny guy.
Yeah.
Yo,
at the same time too.
Yes. But we're back to when you were talking about when you brought up how he looked out for everybody. His vision of that when he said, I'm going to focus on music and I don't want to be in the crack game anymore. My second 1A or 1B is the A&E documentary they did on Biggie maybe a year or two ago, because it had Jay-Z and Nas in it. And I remember Jay-Z saying that Biggie had told him that, yo, we should move to Atlanta. It's cheap down there. We'll get our houses next to each other and we start building up these business. Like, he had the vision for them then.
Yeah, I like that part too. Yeah, where they talked about how he wanted to do clothing. He wanted the label. He wanted this. He wanted to get his hand into anything where he could make money.
Yeah.
You know. Yeah, that was interesting, man.
Yeah, really good documentary if you guys haven't checked it out.
Great.
Really.
The best Biggie documentary.
Yeah,
out there.
It's so good. And I'm a sucker for these type of documentaries, but now because I've seen that one, the A&E one is good. Like I said, Resurrection for Pac is good. The Tribe Called Quest documentary is really good. With I think Michael Rappaport did that one. I'm trying to think of some other ones, but if there's ever another Biggie and Pac, I'm letting that come out. Y'all gonna have to tell me it's dope. I'm not checking that out day one. Because I know those stories. And I'm glad they didn't focus that much on Pac. I thought we were going to get out without Pac. I thought
he got like a little bit. That's it.
Yeah.
That was great. That was great to me.
Yeah, I was like, we know that story. And I would love the fact that we focused so much on Biggie. And then I felt, we brought the grandmother, but the jazz teacher.
I love the jazz teacher was the best.
He showed you how he did.
I like how he showed you how his rhyme patterns were, you know, like it was like a drum and stuff. He was like, he took a lot of the rhyme patterns and made it into his own. And then I love how Diddy's like talked about how he didn't rap like anybody else. Like, no. His whole style was his. Like, everybody usually choose something for somebody else.
Yeah.
And he had nothing of nobody else's. Like, yo.
Yeah, wasn't that D? It was D-Rock. I think it was D-Rock and Oli and Biggie who used to argue. And I can't even remember their favorite. Maybe D-Rock liked Rakim, but I know Biggie's favorite was
Big Daddy Kane,
yeah.
Yeah. No, KRS-One was one of them.
Yeah, you're right. KRS-One was one of them. But yeah, Oli, we saw C. Gutter, you know, fuck him in the ass, throw him over the bridge. That's a wild-ass line. That is a wild-ass line.
He had so many wild lines, and that kind of made him like a great artist, though. He would just say crazy shit.
Yes.
You look so good, I suck on your daddy's dick. I never felt that way in my life. And that's what he said.
Which is crazy because he gets a lot of flack for that line. Then there's the people like, he got that from Richard Pryor. Richard Pryor said it in a stand-up comedy thing, and that's why Biggie said it. But I remember when Biggie said it. Here's the weirdest thing, too. That weird thing, but to me, when Biggie said it, I didn't even think gay. I thought,
no,
I thought? I've never seen a girl look that good.
Amazing.
Yo, but I've said some funny shit like that. I've said, I've seen a woman who was bad, right? And then I saw her mom, and her mom wasn't cute. And I said, man, your dad must be fine as hell. Like, I said, I said some shit like that. Just to be funny, man. Just to be funny. Oh, the picker came, man. Kevin Durant versus Cash Doll. What did you see? What did you think about that?
No, I didn't. I don't know nothing about this.
Cash Doll had tweeted about what was her tweet? Was something along the lines of, "All these niggas want to fuck KD," and Kevin Durant was like, "Hey, man, you ain't the only KD." Like, relax with that shit, blah, blah.
That's hilarious.
It was funny because it looked like, and people took it seriously. I was like, I think he's joking. Like,
yeah, he's definitely joking.
Let me see if I can pull up.
He saw a place for a good joke, so he took it.
She said, "All these niggas want to fuck KD." He said, "You did not have to use those initials to get this tweet off. You have to relax with the KD talk. Your name is Cash Doll." And then she fired back and said, "I'm the real KD. Your name, Kevin Durant. Act accordingly." And then she says, "We argue about this all the time." Like, yeah, it's like, but people's like, "Yo, he in his feelings." I'm like, Kevin Durant has a burner. If he really felt some type of way, he would have used the burner. He wouldn't have used his regular one. I was like, he was being funny about
it. Yeah, I think Kevin Durant is funny, though.
Low key, he is funny. Certified Lover Boy should be dropping any moment now. They said,
I want to hear it, but he missed out on January.
Yeah.
The first thing I think.
Yo, you missed out on
Valentine's Day.
Exactly. Like, that was the big one to me. Like, you missed out on.
What's up with artists just just being so fucking, like, just slow? Just super slow.
But you know what?
Like,
here's the thing. While I totally agree with you, now that outside is opening back up, Drake looks smarter. Drake look like,
does,
see?
He's like,
okay. All right. Now I got two states. You go to Jackson. Georgia.
Florida.
Florida.
Too.
Yo, here's the wild part about it too. I was listening to Dan Patrick today and they was like, All-Star game this weekend. I said, what? Wait, what? Yo, that's just snuck up on me. I was like, the All-Star game this weekend. I was surprised Georgia ain't be like, yo, we open for business too. Like, just, I mean, they are, but they aren't. You know, they released the mask mandate or nothing like that. But
I definitely can't wait to see how this works out, though, just to see how it flows.
Yeah, I mean, everybody's gonna be watching.
Loverboy. Yeah, I'm. When is it coming? They said this week.
Said it could be. It could drop this week. He was seen shooting a music video.
I didn't want to talk about that.
I heard the leak. What's the song called? Like, Next Up. It was all right. It was okay.
Does anybody know the track list? Do we know anything?
Nope.
See, that makes it difficult.
But see, to me, I'm on your side. Drake shouldn't be afraid. Drake should be like, I'm dropping.
Yeah.
Y'all should be afraid of me.
Yeah, Drake is that dude. Like, why can't we live under that mandate? Like, yo, bro, you are the dude. What you playing for? Drop that shit.
Bruno Mars and Anderson .Paak, since we last talked, they got together. It's called what's the name of the group called, man? Silk Sonic. They put on Instagram, "We made an album. Y'all get the first song next Friday, March 5th.
Cool.
Rocket emojis and all that." I like this. I think this is gonna be some soulful, funky type mess. I'm ready for this.
Who knows what type of sound they want to attack?
You don't know if it's gonna be something along the lines of Bruno Mars. Or is it going to be when Childish Gambino did "Awaken My Love"? They have a 70s, or is it going to be some modern fusion of funk and what is Anderson .Paak, the Free Nationals? That's the name of his band. I know this is going to be good, and I shouldn't put my expectations up because it can only be lowered. I can only be disappointed. But here's the thing: I don't have an expectation for a certain sound. I have an expectation for a certain quality. If that makes sense, right?
I don't think
that, yo, this is going to be this and that. I just think these two men are not going to let trash leave the studio. Like, it might not sound exactly like, oh, I thought they would have went, 24K Magic, or they would have went, a Malibu style Anderson, but I know it's going to sound good because they those two, what was Anderson's slip up? Oxford?
Actually,
that might have. He been on the roll ever since then. I'm not worried about it. Man. I'm not worried about it. Man. He's found his groove, man. He has found his groove.
What else? Yeah, I'm gonna make an Anderson .Paak playlist too.
That's tough. He got some shit. Don't forget his collab albums.
I love the collab albums. That's the ones I like the most. He got two of them. He flipped them. Yeah.
The Game is accused of scamming rappers, man. Did you see this story?
Scamming rappers. Okay, go ahead.
So, The Game has been allegedly, well, I guess this is true. The Game has DM people and asked them, do they want to be on his mixtape? And if they do, they got to pay $500 to $1,000. The mixtape isn't really a mixtape. It's a SoundCloud playlist, and it's not even on the official Game SoundCloud. It's on something else. So people are like, what the hell? Let me see. According to the Food Community's IG page, The Game is allegedly hitting up aspiring rappers' accounts and offering them a spot on his SoundCloud mixtapes in exchange for $500 to $1,000. The artists allegedly don't get exposure on The Game's verified account. Instead, they're put on a different account with less followers. The post made on the IG account also claims The Game doesn't promote the mixtape on his social media or makes any appearances on the songs.
Is The Game struggling like this?
Well, they think he is because remember he lost that lawsuit, that sexual assault lawsuit. And now that woman, he owes that woman money and she's getting royalties off his album. So let me see if that part was in here. Allegedly, victims of The Game believe he's scamming artists because he has a $7.1 million judgment to former She Got Game contender Priscilla Rainey. So, yeah. So that's what, but I'm like.
What do you do to her? What do you do?
What was it? It was.
I don't want to look it up or anything. I just want to. No, it was.
I forget how it happened, but I remember that game show, and obviously they don't put that. They don't air reruns of that game. But he, let me see, because I know I can pull this one up really quick. Legal issues, sexual assault case. Here we go. In 2016, a judge ruled that The Game was liable for sexual assaulting Priscilla. Then a contestant, Rainey, claimed she had agreed to go on a date with The Game, believing it would be on cameras. However, when she met the rapper at a Chicago restaurant, there was allegedly no production crew. The lawsuit further alleged The Game showed up to the date highly intoxicated on alcohol and drugs, which was typical, in parentheses, and sexually assaulted the plaintiff on several occasions that night. This included him forcibly reaching his hand inside her dress to rub her bare vagina and buttocks.
So he was,
as, you know what, as the former older generation would say, he was being handsy. And in this generation, you can't be handsy because you're going to get in trouble. And he got in trouble for it.
There is no generation where you can be handsy like that.
No, in the 50s, they would be like, what are you talking about? He's showing you liked you. You're like, wait, what?
That's crazy. I don't know what he can do. He better sell one of those.
$500 to $1,000 is gonna take you a long time to get to that $7.1 million, bro.
Yeah.
Oh man, just about gonna start putting out some
music.
That's what she got in the settlement. I mean, she was awarded that.
Rewarded.
Yeah.
Okay. Wow.
Yeah, you gotta put out some music like Saha. Saha said he got 3 albums on the way, man.
Yeah, I saw that. That was beautiful. I can't wait.
Yeah, I can't either. I was
he ain't gonna get back in there. Give him a verse.
Yeah, I believe when I hear it. I don't even gotta see it.
Yeah, jump on it. He keep on playing with that water. He keeps putting his foot in. I'm like, come on, bro. If you're gonna do it, do it.
Travis Scott, big Kanye time. West, Big Sean, Jack Harlow. I think he said YB and Cordae. Well, just Cordae now. Who else is on here? 2 Chainz, Lizzo, Pink Sweats, Mozzie, Ty Dolla Sign, and more. 3 albums. They all. What was some of the titles?
He said they're all different. He said, "I can't remember."
The Spook by the Window, Slick Woke, and I'm missing one of them. I apologize, guys. I'm excited for that. I was like, man. Yeah.
Hopefully, you get signed with somebody, and they just let them put it out.
No Dope on Sundays. A couple of those tracks are in my workout playlist, and I'm not ashamed of that. I was like, that album has aged amazingly. Amazingly. Yeah. But I do agree with somebody saying that that the Joe Budden podcast forever thinks that Saha is a New York rapper, because this episode they were like, yo, Joe Budden, Royce, and Griselda. And somebody was like, no, it'd be dope if Saha was on a track with who did they say?
Big Boy.
Yeah, but it was along the lines of that. Joe, why can't I think about our dude that stays in Mississippi? I can't think of his name.
David Banner?
Not David Banner. The dope one. I mean, David Banner's dope producer, but...
Oh, you're talking about...
Yeah, see, you can't even think
of... Big Crit.
Thank you. Big Crit and Toby Naguay, whatever. The guy from Houston, Texas. He dope as hell.
Oh, yeah, he's dope. I love him.
I was like, yeah. When somebody put that together, I was like... Yeah, but they should. That's a Southern Spitters right there. Let's go with that. Like, yeah, I know Sci High can spit.
He has done something with him though. Toby, he done something with Toby.
Yeah. And yeah. I know Sci High spent summers in New York. I think the most surprising thing is I didn't know Sci High was never signed to Good Music. He was signed to Akon's brother, Book. I think that was his name. And yeah. I think that's his name. He's not dead. And Book had a deal with Def Jam. So.
Yeah,
that was interesting, but I'm glad he's in good spirits and he's doing okay after that tragic, you know, that attempt on his life.
Yeah.
See if I have anything else. I mean, I don't care about. I wrote in Saweetie because Saweetie was all the buzz because she put ranch on her spaghetti, and people were like, "Yeah, disgusting," and some people were like, "It's delicious."
We're not gonna talk about that.
Did anything happen today? Yo, I'm keeping it a buck with you. Did any news break?
No, I just listened to Joe Budden's. I made a playlist, man. I've been chilling, so I don't know. I didn't hear nothing.
All right.
What you been listening to, baby?
Man, you know me. Listen, I've been making music, and I appreciate all the love.
Oh yeah, let's talk about you. There we go. Shit, beat maker.
Yeah, okay.
Right, fuck your shit. Not Tanaj on the ones and twos. Go ahead.
I said I took a break from the beats anger management. Now I'm back to damage shit.
There we go.
The 808s ain't misplaced. That's my advantage, bitch.
Like, see? You like Buddy in here. You trying to put your one little foot in, one foot out.
Yeah, yep.
Niggas ask for the beat. I'm about to rip one, you know, something like.
Yeah.
You know, just go ahead.
Sure.
Show them I still got skills.
I know I'm at the bottom of beat making skills because people ask me for the beats. Ain't nobody saying like how much for it. They just said, "Yo, can I get it?"
Yeah.
nobody said, "Yeah, you selling these or not?" They just like, "Yo, can I?" I was like, "Yeah, knock yourself out." I put my little tag on it. Oh, this was funny to me though. 6ix9ine is sued by his security guard for unpaid security bill. That's like what? Oh, I feel like Tekashi 6ix9ine should have the highest paid security. That.
But where's this money coming from? Sometimes I be thinking about that, like, yo, where's this?
And that's one thing I didn't watch. I know I've heard about this, the 6ix9ine documentary on Showtime. I heard it's interesting. I mean, Dan Patrick even watched it. He said it was interesting.
Wow.
Yeah. What else? I just saw something else. Oh, Young Money. I forgot to mention this. Lil Wayne announces a new Young Money compilation. Who owned this motherfucker? He said, "We about to put the compilation together with all the artists together on one album." Bruh, all right. If you don't got Drake or Nicki on there, nobody cares. This thing stuck out to me, too. I have mixed feelings about it. Big Sean has been talking about mental health for a while. And the story came across that Big Sean said he contemplated suicide with gun in his hand. And we get to a point in life where you want to normalize certain things. And I feel like suicide should be something that's normalized because the asshole me was like, we've all contemplated suicide.
Just because you put that word on it, everybody's contemplated not being here.
Yeah. Especially if everybody who's gotten to out of their teenage years, when you're a teenager, your emotions are and I'm not saying like, and there's different levels of contemplated. Obviously there's like, I really thought about it, planned it out. And there's also, I wonder how they feel if I'm never here anymore.
Not
like
here,
I'm going to
go. Will they care? Will anybody even care? Will they go back on their days? So you think about the stuff, even if it's light or heavy.
Yeah, he said
it's still something that we kind of need to normalize.
Yeah. He said, "I don't feel like this currently, but I had never gone through wanting to kill myself, give up on my life until the past few years, and I didn't realize how important it was to embrace the ups and downs of life and enjoy taking active steps to better it." That's the thing too, and I've got to this, and I wholeheartedly agree. Expectations, while they are nice to have in movies and entertainment, expectations of life to me only to me as the disappointed. I don't expect anything from anybody but myself. So, and when I have bad days, I don't act as if I'm never supposed to have those.
Yeah, and I know that's the key to life. Everybody's gonna feel insignificant sometimes, and we need to weather the storm rather than pretend like the storm doesn't exist or act like we don't want a storm ever again. You know, like some people be like, "Oh God, please don't send me no." No, ask God to get you strong enough so you can overcome these things. So when they come back next time, it won't be so daunting. You know, that's important to realize what you, how you pray for yourself, or even the goals you set for yourself. Don't set for the goal to be gone. Set for the goal to be overcome. That's where our minds are fucked up. We think we want. We don't think that there's supposed to be rainy days in our lives. Of course they are. You got to embrace those days.
Yeah.
I ain't going to be 100% every single day, but the days that I'm bad, I know that they're going to be greater days to come. And once you get over that shit, man, life gets way more beautiful.
Yeah, I was listening. I was listening to, well said, I was listening to, like this, you know how they, when you listen to a podcast, there's commercials, and I can't remember what this commercial is for, but the lady was talking about, she was the doctor, and she was talking about how feelings are weather. You know how you feel one day is not going to be how you feel the next day. And you have to understand that, you know, you're going to have, it's going to be a week of rain. It's going to be a week of sunshine, but this is also all of a part of you. And I think that's where, and I'm not a doctor, but I think that's where sometimes we go wrong and it's hard because when you are at your lowest moment, you can't see that sunshine. Your brain doesn't even see it. You think to yourself, if it's going to be like this forever, then I might as well leave. I understand that.
But the older you get, the better you get at things. Like, so you know, I had a bad day. Let me go work out. Let me put some good in my body. Let me get on a computer and do some stuff. Let me separate myself from people because I am in a bad mood. Me, I'll be like, yo, let me listen to music. Let me read some poetry. Let me play some jazz. Let me meditate. I know how to get through a bad day. That's what we need to figure out and tell people. Like, some people don't know how to navigate through bad days. Like, it's just, you have to be able to let them go, too. Just as fast as they come, you have to be able to let them go, too, as well. And that's just the art that you have to figure out.
Yeah, and I really hate to put this so close, but I forgot about this story, and it just came up. I don't care what Solange was going through when she made that last album. It's still not going to change my perception of that last album. I don't know if you saw this. She said she was fighting for her life while making When I Get Home. On Monday, the acclaimed musician celebrated the 2-year anniversary of her 2019 album, When I Get Home, with a powerful Instagram message post detailing. She says, calling it the project that literally changed my life. She explained that she was in and out of hospitals, depleting health and broken spirits, asking God to send me a sign I would not only survive, but that if he let me make it out alive, I would step into the light, whatever that meant. Which I'm so glad for her health, and then she's come out on the other side. That album still was bad. That album was horrible. What?
It was. No, I'm just saying, it's funny that you started off like that, then you got into the deeper shit. Like, yo, listen, I feel like you should have went deeper. Then got shallow. Just said, listen, I don't care what she said.
Yo, that album was she was like, terrible. Half the time I didn't know where I was coming. I only knew. I read this and was upset.
She had health issues?
Half the time I didn't know where I was coming from. I only knew I had to open the door and honor it. I didn't see Nan a thing I imagined. I didn't know who I was speaking to on. I am witness. When I look back, when I listen back, I hear a woman who only had an inkling of what the journey entailed, but didn't have a clue of why or what the journey would look like. Neither did I when listening to that album. And that's what she was talking about.
That's hilarious, man.
But you know what? Some things, the backstory helps the album, right? If you hear an album that you be like, this shit sound like trash. And they was like, yo, man, he made that with like a stick of gum and some toothpaste. You like, oh, okay. All right. I see what he did with the stick of gum. Yeah.
No, did you go back and listen to it though?
No.
Did you go back?
No, because I remember how mad I was because it was A Seat at the Table was such a powerful album that I was like, what is this? Remember I reviewed this album. So you know how many times I actually had to listen to it? And I was just like, what is going on?
And I was just confused.
I tried. I really did. So again, once again, kudos to her feeling so much better. But man, no.
I appreciate that. Yeah, I ain't gonna take off the slack from it though. I appreciate letting us know. We love to know what artists are doing and where they're at.
Wu-Tang to release a 400-pound book limited to 36 copies. No. Who, what?
Well, big Wu-Tang fans are going to get it. They're going to love it. You got a Wu-Tang shirt?
No. I should get one. I haven't listened to this Megan Thee Stallion.
You should get a Wu-Tang because your black and yellow Jordans, that would be nice.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I haven't listened to this Megan Thee Stallion and Maroon 5 song. Maroon 5 forever. Didn't Maroon, yeah, Maroon 5 had a Cardi B song a couple of years ago.
We reviewed a Maroon 5 album. Remember that?
Yeah, we did.
At the beginning.
Shit, what was the
good one? We liked that album too.
Fall Out Boy. We did a Fall Out Boy album. We was doing a lot of things in the beginning. Oh, yeah, then I saw this. Kim Kardashian is concerned for Kanye West's well-being amid divorce. You ain't that concerned. I feel like you should just always be. I think a lot of us are concerned for Kanye West because we know how unstable he is, and how Kanye might act.
Yeah, you got to pray.
But here's the thing too, Kanye's one of those things. Like I thought about Kanye a lot while I was watching that Biggie documentary, because Biggie has friends, and it seems like Kanye has friends. He can like Don C and Virgil, but they don't. It seems like those are friends he clicked up with later on in life. Who knows the real Kanye who was young with him? Like, yo, I grew up with... You said who?
Ryan Fest.
Oh, yeah, Ryan Fest. I thought you said Ryan Henry for a second. I was like, did Ryan Henry know Kanye West? Oh, and then we'll wrap up with this shit. Will Smith says he is considering running for president.
I know.
I'm so mad that being the leader of the free world is a job that celebrities feel like I can do that, or I can do a better job at this.
Because Trump has turned the whole thing around. You thinking you about to run for presidency in fucking 2024 or 2025 or something like that.
That's one thing. You know, we do the whole, yo, I'm 16. In Illinois, you can get a license. I'm 18, I can vote, go to the army. 21, I can drink. Now you can smoke cigarettes at 21 now. They moved that up. We never be like, yo, I'm 35, I can run for president in this bitch. Like, nobody cares. Yeah. Nobody cares about that. I just thought about that. Like, oh, I can run for president.
So what do you think about Will Smith? You think,
man, I don't know.
You're going to bring a red table to the presidency?
To the red table to the White House? House? That is the headline somebody should have ran with. Red table in the White House.
Jada being the first lady?
And then they said, Will Smith versus The Rock. Who you voting for? Because The Rock said he thinking about it too.
Everybody knows The Rock is going to win. Because we're going to like, never had
a... It's a popularity contest. Like Rambo. Yeah.
He looked like Rambo, so everybody's going to just vote for that. All that alone. Like,
ain't nobody messing with us. Look, we got The Rock as the president. Just like my dumb mind was like, yo, we should vote for Ross Perot. He's a billionaire. He's going to give us money. But I was like 9 when that dude was running. I was an idiot.
Yes.
So,
yes.
That's the episode. At One and Only, at Kicks and Coffee, at Manny Fontaine, at Studio Flow Pod. Until next time, guys. Peace.
Peace.